Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with your host, Mike Adams.
Welcome, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. This is the Health Ranger Report at Natural News. .com. And as you can see, I'm wearing a shirt today, Water is Life. This is a truism about human biology, isn't it? In fact, life on the whole planet. And here today is a special guest, or joining us by phone actually, who has a special interest in keeping our water safe and clean. She's running for city council in Austin, Texas, where I'm located. Her name is Laura Presley, and she's been one of the most outspoken opponents against the chemical fluoridation of the water supply. She's hosting a money bomb right now to raise campaign funds to help her win the election and get a seat on the city council in Austin, where she can then help lead the fight against water fluoridation and contamination of the Austin water supply with synthetic dangerous chemicals. Laura, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Mike, thank you for having us. I love being on your show. We've been on a couple times, and thank you for having us again.
It's great to have you on. I hear you're making a lot of waves in Austin right now with your run for city council. People are, I heard, they're accusing you of being a Ron Paul supporter. That sounds like a compliment to me. What's the
deal?
I
know. It is hilarious. My opponent who I'm running against, I'm running for Austin City Council, Place 2. And our opponent, he cannot stand on his own policies or his own voting record or his own experience. And so the only thing he can do to attack us is say that, you know what, in Austin, it's mostly a Democrat-type community, And I'll tell you what, the left-right paradigm is alive and well here in Austin. And totally. And if you're not a Democrat, you know, people don't think you can be elected to a city council place. Well, we're you know, I'm basically an independent. And all he can say is that she's got a Ron Paul sticker on the back of her car, and we can't have one of those in the city council. And that is a direct quote from him.
Well, that's extraordinary because, first of all, the progressive, let's say, Democrat liberal community, they believe in the legalization of medical marijuana or the decriminalization.
Yes, yes.
They believe in clean water. They believe
they're
in ending wars.
They're strong environmentalists. They're anti-war. And they don't like giving, you know, their money, taxpayer money, to a bunch of rich people.
Yeah, but my point is that Ron Paul supports all of these positions that the liberals support. So why are they against Ron Paul? I don't get that.
Well, of course we know that the mainstream media demonizes Ron Paul for his policies and puts out a lot of disinformation and misinformation because he's a threat to the establishment.
Sure.
So the good parts of him that are consistent with the Democratic Party, which are the no wars, no bailouts, no NDAA,
right.
They don't really look at that. They just look at the part, oh, he's anti-woman. Okay, he's anti-abortion. He's anti, you know, environment, anti-regulation. So they skew all of these components of his candidacy. And I've had to answer for a lot of this during our run for city council and explaining his positions, and it falls on deaf ears because they've been told so much by the mainstream media. But my opponent, go ahead.
Well, I didn't mean to make this conversation about Ron Paul. I want to make this a conversation about you, Laura Presley. Now, clearly you are pro-woman. Because you are a woman, and you want clean drinking water for all the women and mothers out there, too.
That's right. We want to protect our babies and our children and our women who are so sensitive to hypothyroidism. And fluoridation, you know, affects women disproportionately, and it affects minorities disproportionately, Hispanics and African Americans with fluorosis, you know, at 2 to 3x higher than it does Anglos. So, yes, all of the things that we're standing for in the city council are consistent with Democratic party values, and of course he cannot focus on that because his voting record for subsidies and against the environment and against our families with fluoridation, he can't stand on that.
Right.
So he has to pick something that's inflammatory, and it seems to be working to some extent. The other part is, like you said, he is doing a lot of advertising for me here in Austin because there are a lot of Ron Paul supporters here in Austin.
Well, but let me explain to our viewers why this is really a national issue. It's Austin has become the battleground for the fluoride debate. Dr. Paul Conant, for example, came here and testified. I believe, was that in front of the city council? Or
yes, many times. He's done multiple times.
And you've been on the issue. InfoWars team has Alex Jones and the whole crew there. They've been investigating. In fact, they ran a video that exposed the chemicals that are fluoride. It's being dumped into the Austin water supply.
Yes.
And so if we can get fluoride chemicals, the poison, removed from the water supply in Austin, that really helps set a national precedent. And that's why electing you, getting you into a city council seat is crucial for having that domino effect across the country. How can people support your campaign, Laura?
Well, thank you, Mike. And we are having a money bomb this week to raise funds for our campaign. And we don't have what they call bundlers here in Austin, where these people go out and give money for the candidates and bundle money as it comes in. And typically those bundlers are real estate developers or, you know, industry that's getting these subsidies from our city council currently. So we are doing grassroots. We need everybody's support as much as possible. There's a $350 limit per individual and $700 limit contribution limit for couples. So we have at presleyforaustin.com, we have a contribute page, and we are doing the money bomb this week, and we need support. We really do. There's a big push. We have about a month before the election, and we've got a whole strategy of getting our message out and getting how we're different from this candidate and how we will not be giving a bunch of our tax dollars to these rich corporations like Apple. Austin City Council just gave Apple Corporation, the $110 billion cash-rich company, the richest company in the world outside of these banking and financial institutions, We just gave them $8.6 million to come and bring 3,600 jobs over the next 10 years. And it's an outrage. Apple was going to come here anyway. And there's a lot of ways we can generate 300 jobs per year over the next 10 years by investing in small businesses and keeping that money in Austin and keeping that money locally. So so we need people's help with donations if they can do that.
I want to ask you about Apple in a separate segment with you here. But first, to wrap this up, I want to also inform people of a little bit about your background and ask you to comment on that, too. You have a Ph.D. in chemistry. You're from the high-tech industry. You're also in the natural products industry. You have a rainwater company that sells bottled rainwater. What else do people need to know about you and sort of your background?
Well, I'm also a survivor of domestic violence. You know, one of the things that I can provide on the city council is a perspective of how really, you know, our city funds can support and help people out of poverty. I have been in a shelter myself with my daughter when she was 2 years old. She's now 27. But I have seen the benefit of investing in our community, investing in people. And so not only do I have the tech side background, I was in the semiconductor industry here in Austin for 17 years. And I was an engineer and I was a business manager. I managed a $1 billion business at networking business. And I was a cost reduction manager. So I really have a lot of the expertise to get in the city council and start cutting waste, cutting expenses, but also having the side of seeing how if we could really fund critical and effective programs to get people out of poverty.
But that's
an example of that.
You talk about cutting waste. This is part of the reason why they don't want you there, because a lot of that so-called waste is actually graft and corrupt money going into somebody's pocket. And from what I hear about the city council, it's very, very corrupt, and they want to keep it that way. So you would shake that up, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And that's why they're pressing so hard on this Ron Paul issue, trying to, you know, demonize us. And we're just trying to get in there and do what's right for the citizens. But there is a ton of waste, Mike. I met with the CEO of Austin Energy. It's a $1 billion entity here in our community, and they provide our electricity, but then there's some profit they make, and that goes into funding these major programs. And I asked him, and I said, why are we not doing cost reduction and efficiency and waste reduction programs before you start raising rates to citizens? And he told me, the CEO said, of Austin Energy, he said, we don't have the bandwidth to go cut costs. I'm like, well, you have the bandwidth to go raise rates for all of us. Why can't you look in your own backyard? And so I pretty much, you know, told him what for and exposed that there's nothing they're doing, that the city council's setting the expectation for them to be less wasteful. And you're right. It's going into the pocket of somebody, and that somebody's not going to be happy. But we are there to shake it up, use our voice, expose what's going on, and make a difference.
Well, and the people of Austin are never going to benefit from this corruption. I always find it interesting that these people who worship big government, they never benefit from it. The government keeps them in poverty. And somehow they think the government is their savior when they're getting screwed.
I agree with you. I think what happens is the middle class and then the upper classes, the upper middle class, you know, in all communities, they have disposable income. So you're really not affecting their pocketbook yet when they're raising electric rates, raising water rates. And what happens is those lower income classes and those people already in poverty absolutely are destroyed financially when these things happen. And what happens is they develop these people out, and they go in and buy their property, and they put mixed-use, large commercial developments on that cheap land. And I'll tell you what, that's what's going on in Austin.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about some under-the-table property deals and the city seizing property from people using eminent domain and then later selling it a few years later to their friends and connected insiders, things like that.
Yes, and then giving these subsidies. You know, the council member that I'm going up against, he actually made the statement two nights ago in a candidate forum that the city needs to balance the risk for these companies coming in and spending millions of dollars of an investment, and the city needs to help them with that risk and mitigate that risk. And I was in shock.
That sounds just like the banker bailout justification.
It is no different. It's exactly that. And I say, you know what? I will not give our tax dollars to a bunch of rich corporations.
Yeah.
And that's what I stand for. And the people in Austin are very frustrated with this. And I know they're frustrated with it across the country because this is a model that's being translated across all cities, Dallas, Arlington, Houston, all across the country. This is a model that's happening now where councils are being approached. We'll come and bring these jobs if you give us this money. And they feel kind of, there's a fear factor. And that's one thing that I do not operate off of. I don't have the fear chip in my head. I missed it somehow when I was born, and I just don't have it. So I don't operate off of that. So they can't make those arguments with me, and I'll just give them back the, you know, the business cases of why we don't need, as citizens, to be subsidizing them.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to talk to you about that in another segment. But for wrapping this one up, the website, folks, is PresleyForAustin.com. That's where you can help contribute to her money bomb, her fundraising effort to actually get a seat on the Austin City Council. And when that happens, that'll be a real game changer for the fluoride debate across the country.
It will be.
And Laura, I hope that once you're there in that seat, you'll still find time to talk with us.
Oh, I would love to keep doing that. That's wonderful. And again, what I can provide on the council, because I have a chemistry background, is I can provide education, and that's kind of the first step in this whole fluoridation thing. The council is being educated by the city staff that doesn't have the most recent data and really doesn't have the expertise to analyze and present that data in a way that is cohesive and understandable, and that's the piece I can bring.
Sure. Yeah, well, they should be in favor of education, but it's funny how it's very selective where issues like fluoride, they don't want to know. Don't tell us, you know, or economics, basically, it sounds like,
yes.
with the company subsidies. Anyway, we'll talk about that in another segment. Thanks for watching, folks, and thank you, Laura, for joining me today here on the Health Ranger Report. Welcome, everyone. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger with NaturalNews.com. Today, we're joined by a really amazing guest, one of the most, well, let's say, one of the most profound and well-researched journalists in the world writing today without giving in to the New World Order and all the corporate agendas and all that. This guy is a real journalist doing real research, writing about real issues that matter to us. He's someone that I look up to that I met a couple of years ago. We both have received awards from the Citizens Commission on Human Rights. He's the author of numerous books, but the most recent is The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, How the New World Order, Man-Made Diseases, and Zombie Banks Are Destroying America. His name is Jim Mars, and he joins us today by phone from Texas. Hey, Jim, how you doing today?
Howdy, Mike. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, it's cool to find out that you're in Texas too. I'm in Texas. We're both Texans now, although I think you have a lot more seniority than I do in that realm.
Well, and to be brutally honest, it's not really cool in Texas right now, is it? Actually,
no,
it's pretty hot.
a lot of heat going on, but let's talk about the heat in the financial markets to open up our discussion. Can you explain to the listeners right now, first set the stage, what is factually happening in the world? And then I want to ask you, and I'm talking about the stock market, the money supply, the Fed,
mm-hmm.
and so on.
Well,
and then I want to get your analysis on why that's happening.
Okay. Well, first off, what's happening is, of course, just turmoil, chaos. And the why of it is because it's being manipulated. Right now, the markets are roiling because Standard & Poor's has downgraded the U.S. credit rating from AAA to AA+. But what people don't understand is the largest stockholder in Standard & Poor's is J.P. Morgan. So they pull on both ends of the string and they manipulate the thing. That's why for years people have asked me, you know, which stock would I suggest they invest in? I tell them, go to Las Vegas. The odds are better.
Right.
But, you know, I do deal with the financial meltdown and what caused the crash and who's behind it and who has precipitated these, what has been known as liar's loans, in my new book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. But as you well know, Mike, because I think you're already into it, it's not strictly a financial book. It's about a lot of different things. But interestingly enough, they made me change the title to The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy because my original titled was Zombie Nation. And I use the term advisedly because, you know, they call these banks whose liabilities outweigh their assets. They're broke, they're dead, but they've been propped up by taxpayer money and TARP funds. So they're still going through the motions of business, so they've been called zombie banks, okay? Well, let's look at the United States of America. We have more liability than we have assets. If every American sold every asset they have, and that's man, woman, and child, sold all their clothes, their TVs, their cars, their homes, it would total not much over $10 trillion. And yet today we collectively owe, depending on who you want to listen to, somewhere up around $14 trillion. So we owe more than we own.
and that doesn't even cover all the unfunded liabilities down the road.
Exactly, exactly. That's what they're more or less admitting to. If you talked about the unfunded liabilities, we're up into much higher numbers. And people don't even really understand what a trillion is. I mean, that's a number that's just so far beyond, you know, human comprehension that it's not even funny. But let's say, let me put it this way, because you know now living in Texas how big Texas is, right?
Well, I haven't walked it, you know.
and you probably couldn't in your lifetime, particularly if you made circles. But if you go from the Louisiana-Texas border to El Paso, that's pretty much the same distance between El Paso and Los Angeles. That's how big Texas is. So
wow.
So to try to give you an idea of the number trillion, if you had a trillion, just 1 trillion square miles, that would encompass 3.7 million states the size of Texas.
Wow.
That's just an unimaginable number, isn't it?
So yeah, it's incomprehensible to most folks.
Yeah, and yet we owe trillions, and worse yet, our current financial situation, of course, is totally based on the Federal Reserve System, which is neither federal nor does it have any reserves. It is 12 banks that are owned by private banks, which are in turn owned by private citizens, many of whom are not even U.S. citizens. And they totally can, by controlling, expanding, or contracting the interest and money supply, they totally control our economy. And yet, since its inauguration in 1913, there has never been a comprehensive audit of the Federal Reserve System. We don't know what they're doing or how they're doing it. In fact, in 2009, when Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, was asked by Congress, you know, what have you done with our money? He says, well, we're a private concern. That's proprietary information. We don't have to tell you that. But now we have found out. We have found out some, but thanks to Ron Paul and others that have been trying desperately to get some figures, and they've finally pried some information out of the Fed, and what we find is they have sent $14 trillion of our tax money overseas to prop up foreign businesses and foreign banks.
It's a big eye opener for people out there. But the truth is, Jim, most people, most people haven't really been able to get into this. I mean, even though your book has been very successful, it's still just like my website, it's still only read by a small portion of the total population. I mean, the vast majority of the people out there have no clue and are actually even mentally incapable, it seems, of grasping what is really happening behind the scenes. Why is food becoming more expensive? Why are their dollars not stretching as far as they used to? They don't understand the erosion of the value of the money supply, how it's happening from the Fed and the Treasury.
Well, you can be the smartest person in the world, but if you don't know about something, you're ignorant about that, right? And
right.
So I think the problem comes back to the fact that the vast majority of people, and of course, obviously, we're not talking about people who read my books or listen to your radio cast or go to your website, we're talking about the vast majority of other people who are base their entire worldview on what they see on TV.
Right.
And when you start talking about TV, then you start talking about the corporate control mass media, which is now under the control of only five corporations, all of which have interlocking boards of directors. So actually you have a handful of people who now control everything that we see and hear. And I'm not just talking about news. I'm talking about movies, music, TV, cable, satellite, billboards, magazines, book clubs, you name it. It's all owned by this handful of people, and they only tell you what they want you to hear. In fact, it's the old adage that the freedom of the press belongs to the guy that owns the press.
Of course, yeah. But the interesting side effect of all this is that, you know, you can, if you're the old media, the controlled media, you can lie to people for a while, but sooner or later, reality starts to become noticeable.
That's beginning to happen, isn't it? I just noticed today the Christian Science Monitor, which I've always held in reasonably high regard as a journalistic medium, they published an article by some so-called journalist who said Ron Paul has admitted that he's not in the race to win. That's simply not true. I've heard Ron Paul himself say, yes, I'm committed. I'm here. We're going, you know, I'm here to win. And so what? They just lie about it. And then I saw this, and then when I went back to their website, they had altered the article and said, portions of this article have been deleted because they could not be substantiated.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's already out there, right? And then we saw Fox News, who, when here a few months ago, when Ron Paul won the MSNBC straw vote overwhelmingly, got to huge applause from the audience. What did Fox News do? They ran a clip from 2008 where he also won the straw poll for MSNBC, but the audience was filled with Mitt Romney supporters, and there was a whole lot of booing going on. And that's what they played, as if that was this year. Now, that is, I mean, it makes me ashamed to call myself a journalist, because there is no journalism in this country. There's only corporate advertising delivery systems.
Well, I've talked with many journalists off the record, as I know you have, too. Your books are extremely well researched and well cited, I should say, too. But, you know, off the record, journalists will tell me, look, Mike, you know, we try to cover the truth, but if we print something that's actually informing or empowering the people, the story gets canned by the people upstairs, or it gets distorted and rewritten and retitled in ways that make it sound like the opposite of what it is. For example, you know, vitamin D and sunshine is associated with a lower risk of cancer. That's well known by people who are informed now, but Many newspapers, I'm talking mainstream newspapers and magazines, they will publish stories with headlines that say vitamin D linked to cancer.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you why that is. And this leads back to one of my big boogaboos, because one of the issues today that rightly causes so many people such concern are the rise in teen suicides and the school shootings that have taken place. Hell, Mike, when I was a kid growing up in Texas, we took guns to school, you know, but nobody shot anybody, all right? And yet the media today, all they can talk about is guns, guns. Well, if we take all the guns up, all that would stop. And, of course, it won't, because no way you're ever going to take all the guns up. All that's going to happen is the same thing that's happened in Australia and England, which is you take the honest people, turn in their guns, and that leaves an armed criminal class, which then wreaks havoc, right? Well, now, why are they talking about guns? But it's not the guns. It's the psychotropic drugs. It's the drugs that are warping these kids out and warping the borderline schizophrenics and psychotics out and causing these school shootings. So, and that's clearly demonstrable But why won't the media tell you that? Because they count among their largest advertisers the giant pharmaceutical corporations, right?
Yep.
And that's the bottom line. They won't write about that because they don't want to risk losing their advertisers. And now we're back to this corporate control of the mass media.
You're listening to the Health Ranger Report on Natural News Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. In uncertain times, you need gear you can count on. That's why I teamed up with Daniel Vitalis to launch SupplySource.com. It's a new online retailer offering extremely durable gear for emergency preparedness and long-term survival. Everything we offer survives my daily use test on a ranch in Texas, plus Daniel's outdoor endurance test in the rugged wilderness of Maine. Most of the stuff we test ends up in a pile of trash because it breaks. The stuff that doesn't break, we stock it on SupplySource.com. To get the site started, we've launched it with a line of rugged, reliable, waterproof LED flashlights, now chosen by military and law enforcement everywhere. And we'll soon be adding a whole new brand of emergency water filters, family defense gear, and urban survival tools. When you want your gear to really work, get it from SupplySource.com. Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created Webseed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Survival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WEBSEED.com.
You know, growing up, you never heard a drug ad on television. That was against the law. You couldn't do that.
Right.
And now you turn on television and they're not trying to sell you a truck, they're selling you a drug. Right?
Yeah, well, the FDA knew, I think, in 1998 when that was legalized by the FDA to advertise on TV, they knew that that would create the dynamic where the media was now financially beholden to the pharmaceutical industry.
Exactly.
And if
you read my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, you will understand, I'm sure you do, Mike, but your audience would understand that these handful of giant multinational pharmaceutical companies today that wield so much power all owe their heritage to the Nazi IG Farben chemical combine.
That's exactly right. I'm really glad you brought that up. That's another great book that people should check out, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, Secret Societies that Threaten to Take Over America. But what you mentioned there is absolutely true. IG Farben was broken up after World War II during the Nuremberg trials, I believe, and became three different pharmaceutical companies, one of which was Bayer. And then the chairman of Bayer was convicted of Nazi war crimes and actually served a sentence for that.
Yeah, briefly, and then released, and you're talking about Herman Schmitz, And at one time, Herman Schmitz owned more stock in Standard Oil than the Rockefellers did, which shows you at what level and at what power structure the Nazis had. It's an amazing story, and again, it's not being told to people.
Yeah, that's what's really cool about your books, is that you reveal these threads throughout human history, and also right up into the modern day society, threads that are not normally talked about in the media, but which are actually well documented and well proven, and you lay all that out. That's so your book is really your latest one here, The $1 trillion Conspiracy. I'm reading that right now, and it's just an amazing journey into a look behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly. And as George Santayana said, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And we see history repeating itself. In fact, the parallels between Nazi Germany and modern America, to me, just scream out. You know, in early 1933, Germany was a democratic republic, the Weimar Republic. And the Germans were among the more educated and cultural people in the entire world. And then within the next month or two, their parliament, the Reichstag, caught fire and was gutted, which in that kinder, gentler time was as big a trauma to those Germans as 9/11 was to us. And then Hitler, who had just been chancellor, and which was kind of like vice president, steps up and says, well, give me the power, and I will tell you, this was a communist terrorist plot. Give me the power, I'll take care of everything. So he rammed through the Enabling Act, just like we rammed through the Patriot Act. And then they consolidated all the police agencies under the Gestapo, and now we consolidated all the police agencies under the Homeland Security, and then we started building detention centers, which are now still 800 of them or so scattered around the country. It's all happening again, and nobody knows. Nobody pays attention, and nobody seems to care because they're all mesmerized by television.
So, but you're seeing these signs very clearly, and right here in the real world, signs that the U.S. is building a police state infrastructure. We were talking before this about something you noticed on the highways, too. Can you explain that?
Oh, yeah. That's everyone can see this from themselves, but nobody pays any attention. Just in the last 5 or 6, 8 years, you'll notice the big freeways going in and out of the cities, usually four-lane divided highways, and they used to have a nice little grassy green strip as a median in between. Well, now, all of a sudden, I notice they're coming along and they're putting in these concrete strips. And when I just saw the concrete being laid, I thought, well, that's nice. They're putting in a bicycle path or a pedestrian path for people to walk on. But no, then they came in and they embedded these steel posts, and now they have put steel cable, not just, a little piece of wire or rope or something, to show this is don't cross here. No, these are steel cables, and that miles and miles and miles of them on all these freeways leading in and out of the city. And what's that all about? Especially at a time when the cities and counties are so broke and they're having to jump through hoops trying to get more money, and they're trying to cut services, and yet they're spending millions of dollars putting in these solid metal posts and steel cables on the freeways coming in and out of the cities. What's that about? Well, I'll tell you. It's about so when they impose martial law and they bottle up the cities and they set up checkpoints to stop people from coming in or out of the city, and you see that up ahead, you can't turn around. You're going to be caught.
So, martial law is... there's another concept that you and I know is coming because we've seen all of this in progress and written about it, but the average person out there just can't really even conceive of martial law happening in America. They think that's what happens in other countries,
right?
But not in America. But it's coming. How can you help people awaken to this reality so they can look around and get prepared?
Well, I'm doing all I can do, which is to put all the information down between two covers, and I've been very fortunate in that I've got a major publisher, HarperCollins, and William Morrow, and they have actually published my books, although the last one, The $1 trillion Conspiracy, I actually experienced overt censorship, and that's kind of bothering me. But at least there is the information is out there. But now you ask, how can you wake people up? And, Mike, that's like, you know, that's the old, remember the old line about you can lead a horse to water, but you can't yeah. make him drink? You know, we can present, you're presenting the information, I'm presenting the information, but if they don't want to drink, you can't make them drink. So, but I think that it's incumbent upon everyone who is awake at this point and does understand what's coming up, it's very incumbent upon them to start trying to wake up their neighbors. Now, you don't want to do that. You don't want to be preachy, because nobody likes to get preached at, and you don't want to argue with people, because nobody wants to be argued with. But you can start mentioning and bringing up the issues and trying to get people to think. For example, why don't you just ask all your friends and neighbors and relatives, hey, if we're supposed to believe that there's this evil international gang of terrorists trying to destroy our country and slip weapons of mass destruction into our cities, why have they not done one substantial thing to secure our borders? Get them to think about that. And then, since it's all based on fear of terrorists, which all goes back to the attacks of 9/11, just ask them, hey, well, tell me this. How does two airplanes crashing bring down three buildings? You know?
Oh, yeah.
One of them
World
didn't
Trade
get
Center
hit
7.
By an airplane at all. How did it
come
down?
I want to ask you about Building 7 here. But first, you reminded me of a question here about terrorism. Janet Napolitano has just put out a new video, Homeland Security video, another version of the if you see something, say something. But the last two or three videos, including this one, are all featuring white terrorists.
Right, exactly. I saw this one, and the guilty parties are a white cab driver and a well-dressed white woman. Oh, wait a minute. So I guess everybody is now suspect. See, fear your neighbors. And I'll tell you something. A few years ago, I have a copy of a how to recognize a terrorist that was put out by the Texas Department of Public Safety. And I have a copy of that brochure. And in that brochure, it says such gems as this. Terrorists will travel with women and children to hide their identity. They will smile and try to be pleasant. They will be neatly dressed and act like they like the police. You know, but God, give me a break here. What are they doing? You know, it's like fear everybody, you know. Guy sitting next to you in the theater, you know, if he's dark hued, he's suspect. Now if he's light hued, he's suspect. The bottom line is fear, fear mongering.
But that's who they've named. I don't know which. I think the federal agencies have specifically named that people who support Ron Paul might be terrorists, or people who question the Federal Reserve might be terrorists. What other examples are there?
Well, no, what they're saying there is anyone who now is trying to point out the truth of our situation in this country and the fact that these criminals, and I use the term advisedly because I'm talking about people who violate not only international law but also our own laws, they are now in control of the government. And now they are very fearful, because if the people were to wake up and realize, well, I'll put it in the words of George Herbert Walker Bush, who back in the 90s told Sarah McClendon, that old curmudgeon reporter for the White House, and she published it in her newsletter. He told her, he said, Sarah, if the American people ever find out what we've done to them, they're going to chase us down the street and hang us from the lamppost. And that's true. It's exactly true. If they knew the truth about 9/11 and the deaths of those 3,000 people, if they knew the truth about these unprovoked wars of occupation in Iraq and Afghanistan, if they knew the truth, if they weren't so bedazzled, distracted, and blinded by the corporate mass media, they would. They'd march on Washington, they'd lynch a bunch of people, and they're scared to death. So they are now demonizing the very people who are beginning to wake up and realize what's causing the problem in this country.
Yeah, a great example of that was the recent debt ceiling negotiations and that whole fiasco. And,
yeah,
you know, the Tea Party members were saying, you know, we have to radically cut spending and get our budget under control. Now, they have been called terrorists for demanding that
budget.
We balance our budget. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a balanced budget. Holy cow. What terroristic activity is that? Now, wait a minute. Okay, now, I realize a lot of people, myself included, do not understand all this complicated economics and, you know, assets, liabilities, gains, da-da. Okay, but it's just simple, folks. If you have $1,000 in the bank and you owe $10,000, you got a problem. And the solution to that problem, obviously, is not to go out and borrow more money. You need to start cutting back on your expenses and paying down your debt. And yet, when you say that, in terms of the U.S. debt, which is now unredeemable, there's no way we'll be able to pay it off because we're paying, it's taken everything that that we can siphon out of our economy just to pay the interest on the national debt. So we'll never get out from under it unless we default.
So, well, let me ask you that. Where does this go? I mean, I really want to put you on the spot here and ask you for your best assessment. I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball or anything, but in your best assessment, how does this conclude? Because we know it's not sustainable. What happens? What kind of timeline?
Oh, well, I don't know the timeline because that's the only place I've really been a little bit off. I mean, you can go all the way back to when I was just a reporter for the Fourth Star Telegram back in the 60s and 70s, and I was trying to tell people then that Kennedy was killed as a result of a conspiracy. Criminals had gained control over the federal government. It was expanding beyond all, you know, redemption. And of course, I was just the conspiracy theorist. And yet, everything I ever said, I said, Vietnam's a disaster. It's going to end badly. I said, Nixon is a crook. And I was just a conspiracy theorist. But looking back in hindsight, everything I ever said was true. The only thing where I was off was just time frame. It took longer. Right. Things looked I thought we'd be into George Orwell's 1984 in 1984, you know. But it's taken into the new millennium for us to really get heavy into this Orwellian society. But now, how's it all going to end? Well, I see there we are on a converging pathways, okay, and things are speeding up, and we're all rushing pell mell into the future, and we're going to hit this intersection. And from that point, we can go one of two ways: either things are going to get so bad, and people are going to get so fearful, and so dumbed down, and so apathetic, and so distracted and befuddled that they're going to give up, and we're going to have a true Orwellian society, police state, where the police come and they'll be judge, jury, and executioner, and they're fast becoming that way right now, and we'll lose all sense of individual liberty, individual privacy, and we will definitely go into this 1984-type totalitarian society, with the cities turned into giant concentration camps where you have to show your ID, you know, every block. You have to be scanned every time you do something. Or we can begin to wake up enough of the population to where we hit a tipping point and people begin to realize that's not the future they want. And then they start taking control at the local level. They take control over their local school boards, their local city councils, their local county government, and then they start throwing off the yoke of tyranny, just like the sheriff did in Montana, who publicly said that any federal officer who came into his county and tried to take actions that would violate the Constitution of the United States of America or the Constitution of Montana, he would have his deputies escort them out of the county. And this is what we need to do. But, of course, we saw, you know, the fledgling efforts are being made. I don't know if you ever were here in Texas, Mike, when the House passed a new law that was going to call for jail time and heavy fines for TSA agents who put their hands on your sexual genitalia,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, we covered that story.
30 of the 31 senators said they would sign it, and Governor Rick Perry even indicated he would sign it, and yet the Justice Department came down and basically said, if you pass this law, we're not going to let any flights come in and out of Texas, and we'll just declare Texas a no-fly zone. And they caved in. They caved in. Thanks to David Dewhurst and some of those jerks down there that are just nothing but New World Order pawns. You know, if I'd been in charge down there, I would have said, well, that's fine. Go ahead and declare us a no-fly zone. And if you do that, then we're going to take all the IRS money that flows into Texas, and we're not going to send it to Washington. We'll just hold it in Texas.
I mean, whatever happened, I mean, if any state was going to stand up to the feds, I would have thought it would be Texas.
I know. But see, you have to understand, Texas has been infiltrated since after World War II, when the Rockefellers came down here and started buying up large tracts of land, hoping to get a monopoly over uranium, because they, at that time, they saw nuclear power as the definite wave of the future, and they were going to get a lock on all the uranium so they'd have a monopoly just like they've had over petroleum since the 1800s, okay? And then they brought in their carpetbagger buddies like the Bushes. That's one thing that's always hacked me off, is that everybody outside of Texas thinks that the Bushes are Texans. Well, they're no more Texans than I'm a New Yorker. They're Yankee carpetbaggers from Connecticut. And why did they leave Connecticut? Because the old man, Prescott Bush, was actually prosecuted in late 1942, the middle of World War II, for being nothing but a financial front man for Hitler and the Nazis. And the people in Connecticut knew this, so they bailed out, came to Texas, and bought their way in to the oil business.
And now they have a whole airport named after them in Houston.
Oh, yeah, now we got airports and highways, and we got George W. Bush Freeway over in Dallas. It just makes me sick.
I love it. Every time I used to fly into Houston, the first thing I would get off the plane from Ecuador, first thing I would hear would be, welcome to the George W. Bush Intercontinental Airport. The terror threat level is now orange.
That's right. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
That's the first thing you hear.
But keep buying. Keep consuming.
It's incredible. I mean, welcome to 1984.
That's it.
Big time.
That's it. Absolutely. And if you've, I don't know how long it's been since you've read George Orwell's 1984, but you might recall that in that 1984 Orwellian society, everything that was bad, everything that happened, was blamed on Goldman. Goldman did it. Goldman was behind everything. And yet, strangely, they never could quite catch up with Goldman, you know. Goldman was Osama bin Laden. You know,
all right.
But since
fictional bad guy,
yeah. But since bin Laden died, probably of natural causes, in late 2001, they could only drag that out for about 10 years. You know, and then they had to finally say, "Well, we got him." But we threw his body in the ocean. You know, we didn't want anybody to see it.
I got to ask you, though, Jim, how is it that people buy that story? I mean, it's so ridiculous on its face. Okay,
exactly.
Navy SEAL Team 6 goes in and finds bin Laden and, by the way, his secret stash of documents that provides this excuse for the next decade to come up with whatever intelligence they want to invent.
Exactly.
Oh, we found it in bin Laden's lair.
Right.
Yeah, it was in his safe. And they grab the guy, they say, and then they toss him in the ocean so that no one can look at his body, which is completely against all the religious. Yeah.
You know,
and then,
what we're told
a couple
now,
months later.
What we're told now is that he was unarmed, Okay. In fact, you know, we were told right off officially that they, first we were told they shot and killed his wife, and then it turned out, well, no, it wasn't his wife, it was some other woman, and she didn't die, she was just wounded, and, you know, and Bin Laden wasn't armed, and then I've even heard accounts where they said he was begging for his life. Well, wait a minute, why didn't they just take him, put him on the helicopter, fly him back to New York, put him on public trial, and show the world that the United States is a nation of law and justice? But no, three taps in the head and they throw his body in the drink. That's mafia. Right. That's what the mafia does, not the United States of America.
Well, of course. And this is what we see with the Rawsome Food raid in California, a mafia hit on a farming operation, an FDA mafia hit. That's what it was.
Well, see, when Rick Perry is calling for doing away with all these federal agencies, I think the FDA is one of them right at the top of the list, along with the BATF, which, as you well know, I think you covered this, the so-called sting operation.
Yeah,
where they were forcing gun dealers, and that is so patently obvious to me. They've been trying to demonize gun owners for decades, and so the BATF goes to the gun stores, forces them to sell guns to known Mexican drug thugs, and under the idea that we're going to track them back into Mexico, find out where they go. Well, wait a minute, we don't have any jurisdiction in Mexico. Once they cross the border, how do we know what they're going to do with them? We don't. So it was all obviously a scheme. To them, they could come out and say, oh, look, it's gun shows and gun dealers who are selling all the guns to the Mexican drug cartels. What a piece of work. And the thing is, though, see, when you control the mass media, you control the masses. In fact, Mike, when's the last time that you heard a national politician refer to the Republic? You don't hear them talking about the Republic.
You got to go way back for that.
Way back. They don't talk about the Republic anymore because we're not a Republic anymore. We're the evil empire, okay? But what they do talk about is democracy. We got to save democracy. We got to take democracy to the Middle East. We got to bring democracy and defend democracy. Well, what is democracy? That's simply rule by the majority. And what's the classic example of democracy in action? A lynch mob. And that's not what we were given, and that's not what we want. We were given a democratic republic. Now, what's the difference? Well, in a democratic republic, you can't, if the majority say lynch him, you can't lynch him. You have to give the guy a fair trial. And there's checks and balances, and he gets the right to an attorney, and he gets the right to confront the evidence against him and the witnesses against him. He gets a fair trial. And then if he's found guilty, maybe even gets an appeal, and he's still found guilty, then you can lynch him.
Right.
That's
right.
What we're supposed to have. But no, it's. And so why do they want to push this lynch mob majority rule democratic idea? Because they own the mass media, which means they control the masses.
Well, of course, and people don't realize at all how easily they are controlled, how much they're influenced. And I'm talking about very intelligent people.
That's right.
I know doctors who are, you know, their cerebral intelligence is very high, but they have zero awareness of even fluoride and aspartame, of dangers of pharmaceuticals, vaccines, or any of these political issues. They don't know what the Federal Reserve is. Like you said at the beginning, they're ignorant. Yeah, they may be smart, but they're ignorant. But what I don't get is how people can be so easily hoodwinked on things that you and I look at and say, well, that's obvious, like World Trade Center Building 7.
Yeah.
It's obvious it was demolition that brought the building down.
Well, I don't
but
know.
To others,
I don't know about you, Mike, but I credit my sanity with the fact that for the last 30-plus years, I've lived out here with a deep water well, and I have not been drinking fluoridated water.
There you go.
But yeah, you're right. And the thing is, I see very intelligent people, very awake people, very aware people today who are very concerned about the direction that our nation is taking. So people who want to know what's going on, go to jimmars.com, read my books, and listen to Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, together we certainly cover a lot of ground. And again, folks, I really want to encourage you to check out Jim's latest book, The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, and other books. Just search for Jim Mars on Amazon.com or other other book sites. You'll find a lot of good work out there. And again, Jim's work is extremely well researched and cited. He does not spout nonsense. It is all extremely well documented. By the time you finish his books, you will have a whole new education on things that maybe you're not supposed to know.
That's right. But always remember, what you don't know can hurt you.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, get ready for the wave of zombies headed your way.
That's it.
Zombie Nation is nearly upon us. Well, thank you, Jim. Have a great day, and I look forward to talking to you again soon about other topics.
Well, thank you, Mike. It's been a pleasure to be with you.